Continuing on now, I want to talk about gun control for a moment and then another big election year issue. Gun control, as you listen to the Democrats out on the campaign trail, you hear just about every gun control idea under the sun. I mean, they just throw one right after another after another. California now doing what I've told you for years was going to happen, and that is targeting your ammunition. You know, with more than 300 million guns in America, in a practical sense, you're never going to get them off the streets. You're never going to get them all. There's too many of them. So it's been my idea for a very long time that the ammunition would get targeted. They would jack up the taxes, the cost, making it prohibitive to buy ammunition. And then, of course, background checks for ammunition were inevitable. And, yes, that's what's happening in California. Proposition 63, which Governor Gavin Newsom made as a cornerstone of his campaign, approved by voters in 2016, going into effect July 1. As a result, sales of ammunition are through the roof, as you can imagine, as California residents are saying, now, wait a second, let me get set up for that. So let me go to a story from New York on gun control real quick, because it's instructive on what gun control people think and how they think. Here's the story of an elderly New York man. He had been targeted by burglars over and over again, right? He had been targeted over and over again. He had inherited a gun from his father. It was in his apartment. He finally shot to defend himself. He shot to defend himself, did the 64-year-old Deerfield homeowner. And then he was charged with illegal firearm possession, arrested after he used a gun he had inherited from his deceased father to kill the two repeat burglars. They kept breaking into his house. He finally shot him and killed him to defend his home. Then upon his release from jail, he found himself homeless because his home had been condemned. You see, the old man was also a hoarder, and the power wasn't on. So the state came along and said, you can't live here anymore. So they arrested him for defending his home, charged him with crimes because these criminals kept breaking into his house, then took his house away and put him on the street. Welcome to liberal logic. Welcome to liberal logic. Another big campaign. So that's why gun control is so pivotal in 2020. You know, the right to defend yourself, your home, your family, your community. It is a foundational principle, a God-given right in America. There are no two ways about it. It is black and white American law. Now, number two. Another big campaign year issue, of course, is abortion. And I came across this yesterday, and it makes my skin crawl. You are going to be appalled by what you're going to see and hear. Abortion advocates, as you know, becoming ever more radical, suggesting that abortion should happen anytime during gestation, up to and including birth, no matter how grisly. The abortion right advocates and Planned Parenthood people are out there saying it's our right as women. Proclaimed feminist Sophie Lewis, who lives here in America. I think she's from Ireland, but she lives here full-time, permanent resident in America, full-time advocate for abortion and Planned Parenthood, says, yes, abortion is murder, but you should be okay with that. It doesn't matter that it's murder. I can't make this up. I want you to hear this. It's bite number three. Prepare yourself. Bite number three.
Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. Alex, I want you to re-rack that bite if you've got it.
Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I am not interested in where a human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as sort of continuous processes. The other end of the spectrum is the process of learning how to die well and hold each other and let each other go at the end of our lives as well as at the beginning. But looking at the biology of this kind of hemichorial placentation helps me think about the violence that innocently a fetus meets out vis-a-vis a gestator. And that violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work.
To recap, to refocus so you understand this, I am not interested. I am not interested in where a human life begins. And it's the fetus that is the aggressor. It is the fetus that is the violent one forcing a woman to do, what did she say, gestational work. You have a front row seat now into the mental illness of those that advocate abortion on demand at any time. Barbaric. Horrendous. Vulgar. Pick your word. It is inexcusable. There is nothing that excuses that kind of attitude, and that is the attitude of the far left that is being promoted and propagated across this country by the Democrat Party in 2019. That, my friends, is a game changer. That, my friends, right there is a game changer. Here's an outspoken defender of Planned Parenthood, proclaimed feminist, and abortion defender Sophie Lewis. She doesn't care when life begins. Yes, it's murder. You should be okay with that. I'm not okay with that, Sophie. And you ought to seek mental help. You also ought to go to a physician, see if you actually have a heart. Not a mind, but a heart. 52 after on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back after this.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.